Amen. Thank you for all those women that participated. Some of those, it was really difficult for them. And I appreciate their courage coming forward. And hoping to share with you that there is a whole wide spectrum of mothers that are in our midst today, of women that are in our midst today. And speaking of women, we are going to look at two women today from the book of Judges. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read from the Message translation today. It's going to be Judges chapter 4. In your outline, it's right there for you, or up on the screens it'll be there, or you can break open your electronic Bible on your phone, and you can follow along there also. You know, when I was studying, I ran across a pretty well-known quote as I was studying for the message this week, and the quote goes like this: well-behaved women rarely make history. I'll say that again. Well-behaved women rarely make history. I loved that quote because I like to think of outside of the box. When I think of my mom, maybe you think she's well-behaved, but she's not. She's not. My mom, she has probably done things that most women even haven't thought of doing. She is a put-her-hand-to-any-task sort of person. She's a lover of children. She's a giver generously of all things. She is an encourager. And she runs the house. She's not well-behaved. Ask my dad. But when I came across this quote, it started me thinking, and actually, after I had the privilege and honor of speaking last year at Mother's Day, we talked about the definition of who you are as a woman and who you are in Christ. And so I kind of wanted to continue that theme, but maybe just in a different light. And this weekend, the theme, if you noticed, of the weekend is called Rise. And so I want us to paint a picture, a story, a movie, a play that plays out in the Old Testament in the book of Judges. Now, just so you know, in the Old Testament, things were different than in the New Testament. And so you might hear or see some things, and we'll explain it as we go along. But I want you to realize this. There's two women in the story. And these women make history. They didn't follow the norm, but they did follow one thing. They followed the voice of God, the plan of God, the purpose that God had for their life with unwavering fortitude. When I was just down the children's wings, and man, you guys are populating the children's area. There's a lot of little kids over there. There's a lot of things. And you know, when you're a mom in the trenches, like Miss Jen was talking about, she's in her scrubs this morning because she's leaving here and she's going right to work at the hospital today. And I appreciate a mom like that. But when you're a mom, like with little kids, and we were talking about that fortitude and following that purpose and plan, your purpose and plan when you have kids at that age is just to make it through the day in one piece, with your children in one piece. Because it's kind of crazy. And then as you get older, you think, okay, we've got them trained, we've got them settled, they're big, you know. No, it's the same purpose. You got to make it out alive as teenagers, those teenagers, and you got to get them out alive also. So your whole life, you're just trying to keep yourself alive and your kids alive. And that's your whole purpose. So let's break open the Bible today. We're going to look at two women from the book of Judges. These women took on some challenging roles, and both women were awakened and stirred and had to respond to some incredibly dangerous and harrowing experiences and situations. But you know what? I want to tell you something, women. Look up at me just right now. They were ordinary women, just like you. They weren't extraordinary. They weren't like, ooh, these are... They were ordinary women. And I want to encourage you today to rise above what you think of yourself and begin to see yourself as God thinks of you. These women contributed to God's purpose in unexpected ways, and their plan that they fulfilled for their life, a result of their bold decisions, it changed history. So let's start out, and you're filling in the blanks. You know what? I'm just not going to give them all to you. You're going to have to figure them out as we go along in the story, all right? So tough noogies today, you know? Tough sledding. I'm not just going to. Last night, if you were here, I gave them all to you, but not for the Sunday crowd. You guys need a challenge. All right, Deborah, chapter 4. The people of Israel kept right on doing evil in God's sight. These darn Israelites, can you believe it? They're always getting in trouble, aren't they? They're always like, we're hard after God. And the next thing you know, they're hard after evil. They're always going back and forth. So this is one of their evil moments. And with Ehud dead, God sold them off to Jabin, king of Canaan, who ruled from Hazor. Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim, was the commander of his army. The people of Israel cried out to God because he had been cruelly oppressing them with his 900 iron chariots for 20 years. So let's look at who we have so far in our story. We have a mention of the people of Israel. We have a mention of Jabin. Jabin is a cruel man. And you know what? God gave them over to what they wanted to do. The Israelites decided they wanted to go, hey, we want to serve evil. And God says, well, fine, here's your evil king. So this king has oppressed them, and he has a mighty, huge, enormous army of great force. Because whenever somebody's going to oppress somebody, they usually amass a big army to make sure they keep people under their thumb. They had iron chariots, and they had been under oppression for 20 years. I don't know if you know what it's like, because we don't really have that type of oppression. But if you've ever been out of the country and seen people in dictatorships or communist countries or places like that, where people are living under oppression, it's horrible. You don't have choice. You don't get to make decisions. Things are told what you have to do and don't do. And there's a cruel vein of emotion that runs throughout everything. There's fear. There's terror. So this is what the Israelites are living in. And under King Jabin, of course, he has to have a henchman or somebody to carry out his plans. And that is Sisera. And he is the commander of the army. Next verse, in verses chapter 4, in verse 4. So it says, Deborah was a prophet. She was the wife of Lebadith, and she was judge over Israel at that time. She held court under Deborah's palm between Ramah and Bethel in the hills of Ephraim, and the people of Israel went to her with matters of justice. So let's stop right there. So now we have another character in our play that we're seeing storied out for us today. And that is Deborah. This woman is a prophetess. That means she hears from God, because in the Old Testament, the prophets would hear from God, and the prophets would deliver the word of God to the people. So she was a prophetess, and she heard the word of God, and she would give the word of God to the people. She was also a judge, an adjudicator. You can see here that she would go, and she would hole up under a palm tree between these two places, and people would travel to her, and it was the Judge Judy show. She would adjudicate matters. She would resolve situations with the people. And they came to her with all kinds of things. But she was extremely wise, very competent. Also, we see here that she is the first female leader in Israel's history. She is completely confident in her own skin, who she is, and what she's called to do. You know, when you're a leader, you have to have that kind of confidence. So she had a rock-solid identity in Christ. She understood that there was a lot of problems happening around her in Israel with the people of Israel. But she knew one thing. When there's difficulties and problems, people need leadership. They need somebody to help them find the way out. And she stepped into that role of leadership with not one bit of qualm. She was owning it. She knew also that she had to face some pretty bold personalities like King Jabin and Sisera. And she had to do some very brave things. Ladies, every day that you wake up, you are faced with very bold decisions, courageous things to do. And every day that you open your eyes, you have stepped into the role of leadership as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter, as a sister, as an aunt, as a woman. When you wake up, you're in leadership. First of all, you're in leadership of yourself. Sometimes that's the most challenging person to keep in line. Amen? Because we women can be all over the map. So keeping us going in one direction is usually pretty challenging. It is for me, because I'm usually doing 100 things at one time. You know, up this morning, mashing the potatoes, you know, studying, worshiping, getting the makeup on so it looks good, you know, changing my clothes 4 or 5 times, you know, all those things that just happen in the morning for a woman. So when you wake up, you are in that leadership role. Most women I know do not have the kind of confidence that Deborah has exemplified in this story that we'll continue to look at. Most women doubt themselves. They doubt their calling. They doubt their purpose. They doubt their plan. And we sure as heck doubt how we look, because we're always being compared to images and Photoshop things and other people and other women, and we're always nagging about our bodies all the time. And so I want you to see from this what you can do when you have a decided revelation that you are a child of God, what we just sang about. When you have that calm assurance that you know that you know that you know that the greater one lives in you, and you know his voice, and you can follow that voice, and you can use your voice as women. Let's continue looking at this, and we're in verse 6. So she, Deborah, sent for Barak, son of Abinadab, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and she said to him, remember, she's hearing from God. She's talking to Barak. It's become clear that God, the God of Israel, commands you, go to Mount Tabor and prepare for battle. Take 10 companies of soldiers from Naphtali and Zebulun. I'll take care of getting Sisera, the leader of Jabin's army, to the Kishon River with all his chariots and troops. And I'll make sure you win the battle. Barak said, if you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. She said, of course I'll go with you. But understand, with an attitude like that, there'll be no glory in it for you. God will use a woman's hand to take care of Sisera. All right, so let's back up and look at that. So her commander-in-chief, her person that was underneath her, was Barak. And he was the leader of the Israelite army. He was very faithful and loyal to Deborah. He saw her as the leader. And so she had complete confidence in going to him and giving him instruction. You know, it's important when you hear instruction that you follow instructions. When God speaks something to you, women or men, to immediately act upon what God asks you to do. A lot of people say, well, I didn't know that God speaks to people. How do you find that out? How do you learn that out? Let's take a commercial. Classes. We have classes that you can go to, and you can get some foundational knowledge. Did you know that it is crucial to your very life here on earth that you learn how to hear what God wants you to do? Did you know it is crucial to hear from God who you marry? Brother Hagin, the president of our college, always said, marriage is the closest thing to heaven on earth or hell on earth. Amen. Gonna get some amens. It can be heaven or it can be hell. So who you pick to live the rest of your life with, for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. That's a long time to put up with somebody, huh? That's a long time to live together as one. So it's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be a picnic. There's going to be ups and downs. But through it all, if you know that you know that you know, then that helps you in guiding you and keeping that decision firm. So it's important that you learn to hear the voice of God. So there's classes you can sign up for that are going on right now where you can learn and get a basis in the knowledge of God. Because you know what? I'm not going to tell you everything you need to know. You're only here for an hour, 15, 20 minutes. You have to know the word of God for yourself and how to hear for God for yourself. I'm not coming to Todd's house, and I'm not going to tell Todd, hey, Todd, this is what you need to eat for breakfast today. You know, you need to drop a few pounds, so we're putting you on the paleo diet here, so that's what you're doing from now on. You know, I'm not going to come, I'm not going to tell him, hey, Todd, have you read your devotions today? Hey, Todd, are you on time to go to work today? Hey, Todd, are you witnessing at work? Hey, Todd, have you thought about your plan and purpose over the next 5 years and the journey that you're going to be on? Pastor Scott and I are not there to do that. That's where you're hearing from the voice of God speaking to you. And yes, God does speak to you about what you should eat sometimes. Amen. And that's when we say, and I did not have a donut today. I just want to tell you that. I did not have a donut. I did not have a donut. My flesh wanted a donut, but I didn't have a donut. But I must confess, I didn't have a donut because at home, I have brownies, and my sister made this chocolate ganache cake. So you can't have donuts and chocolate ganache cake. No, that doesn't work. So there's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So anyway, back to our story here. So Deborah finds Barak, and she gives him some instructions. She says, I've heard from God, and I'm telling you this, that the God of Israel is commanding us to go to Mount Tabor, and we're going to prepare for battle. Otherwise, we are going to take over, kick butt, and we're going to install some new leadership instead of King Jabin. You know, we are tired of being oppressed for this 20 years. God spoke, let's do it. So she speaks that to him. She said, hey, you take 10 companies of soldiers, so you take about 10,000 guys. And she said, I'm going to take care of hurting Sisera, the commander. I'm going to kind of like trick him into getting into this particular area at the Kishon River with all of his chariots and troops. And then I love this part. Look at that part. She says, and I'll make sure you win the battle. Barak, just telling you, I'll make sure you win the battle. Get out your lightsabers, get out your gun, you know, like, I'll make sure, you know. She's in battle mode. But what confidence this woman has to tell him, don't worry about it, just take your 10,000 guys, but I'm going to make sure you win the battle. That is knowing who she is and how she's heard from God, that God has given her instructions. And she's like, God's with us, like, hello, we cannot fail. Have you ever seen that quote, like, God is within her, she will not fail? Yeah, it's a great quote to pin, but do you believe it? God is within you. You will not fail. And that's what she was trying to instill. She was a good leader. She's trying to tell Barak, it doesn't matter what situation you get in, I believe in you. And you know what? If you just fail or something goes wrong, don't worry. I'll make sure that you have the win. You know what? That's what we do as women. We want to make sure our kids have the win, don't we? We make sacrifices. We do different things to make sure, you know, we have college debt, you know, we're paying for. Why? Why did we do that? Because we want to make sure our kids won in life. I want to help guarantee that. I want to pave that way for them. That's why we taught them the Word of God. That's why we encouraged them or took them on experiences. Why? So we make sure they win. So this is what Deborah is doing for Barak. She's telling you, I want to make sure you win. I want to win for you. Now, Barak, he responds kind of curiously. He says this. He responds with a little bit of a condition. He says, Deborah, if you'll go with me, I'll go, but if you don't go with me, then I'm not going. She's like, what? So you can see that he has a little intrepidation here, and he's like putting a condition, like, okay, I'm going to go, and we're doing this. But come on, you got to go with me, Deborah, please. She's like, I just told you, I'd make sure you have a win. So she tells him, okay, it's all right. I'm going with you, bud. She has the heart of a mom, doesn't she? Of course I'll go with you. So here's your kids. Come, you know, come on, you can do it. You can take on the world. Come on, I'm kicking you out of the nest. All right, you can go. Mom, come on, come with me. Okay, I'll go with you. So she's like a mom. She's saying, okay, I'll go with you. But she tells him this. Because sometimes, you know, there's conditions if we don't just immediately obey what God is asking us to do. And she says, but understand, with an attitude like that, you're not going to get the glory. She said, God is going to use a woman's hand to take care of Sisera. So she, we might think that she's talking about herself, like, hey, God's going to take care of, I'm taking care of Sisera. But she wasn't. She was actually prophesying that God was going to use a woman to take down that commander instead of Barak. All right, let's keep reading. I love stories. She said, of course I'll go with you, but understand, with an attitude like that, there'll be no glory in it for you. God will use a woman's hand to take care of Sisera. So Deborah got ready, and she went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together at Kadesh. 10 companies, or 10,000 men, followed him, and Deborah was, where was she? With him. Yes, she went with him. It happened that Heber, the Kenite, had parted company with the other Kenites, the descendants of Hoab, Moses' in-laws, and he was now living at Zanaman, Oak near Kadesh. They told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Sisera immediately called up his chariots to the Kishon River, 900 iron chariots, along with his troops who were with him at Heroish Hagoyim. So here we see a lot of stuff happening. Deborah's getting ready. They're going out for the battle. And as they are going out, Sisera gets a clue, he gets a word, he finds out that the people are assembling and moving against him. So what does he do? He says, okay, we're going to get the chariots, we're going down there, and we're going to kill them all. In the middle of that, there's a person mentioned, and his name is Heber the Kenite. And he's going to be important because he is actually the husband of Jael, who we're going to meet in a few minutes. But Heber was a fashioner of metals. He made tools, he made iron, he made weapons, and he was from a tribe of people that would travel around all over to find work, kind of like migrant workers. Where the work is, they would go. And so there was these companies of people that would show up and set up these tents and start working. Now, women, your job in these type of communities was, you were the tent setter-uppers. You were the tent tear downers. You were the tent peg pounders. You were the erectors. You were the tent peg duct tape fixers. All right? Whatever was happening with the tent, women, it was your job to fix the tents and make, what are you doing? You're making a home. You're making the home. That's what the women are. We're making the home. We're setting up camp. And the guys were the tool or trade people. All right? So I don't know if you've ever erected a tent or anything. I've done those ones where, you know, the little things and they're popping up all over the place and you're trying to get them all situated. But when you're talking like the Old Testament, you're talking about stringing some things up and some tent pegs and some hammers and sledges and stuff. I mean, these women, they got it together. So Heber, he is one of these people that travel around. Now, he's actually a descendant from Moses' in-laws. He's actually a descendant from the Israelites. But what's happened to him, which happens to a lot of people, is he's here in the godly camp, but he sees profit over here. So he ditches these people, the godly people, and he sides in with the Canaanite people. Him and Jabin are tight. Him and Sisera are tight. And you know why they're tight? Because what does he make? Weapons, iron stuff, things like that, and that's where the money's at. So he becomes extremely friendly with the enemy camp. And he's ditched everybody else, and that's where we find him. Now, something interesting is going to happen here that God does on the behalf of Deborah and Barak. I want to tell you something. Isn't it amazing that when you obey God, God moves on your behalf? Whatever situation you find yourself in today, when it looks insurmountable, if you obey the voice of God and do what God has asked you to do, He will come and do the miraculous part that only He can do. We've seen it time and time again, Pastor Scott and I, where people come in, and if they're just obedient to do what God calls them to do, or if we ask them to read something, or we ask them to attend church, or we ask them to, you know, we're trying to help them, if they do that, it's amazing that we give them tools, and then God comes in with the miraculous and changes their whole situation around. So that's what's happening here. So Sisera is calling up his chariots. All the troops are coming in. Let's continue on to verse 14. Deborah says to Barak, "Charge! This very day, God has given you victory over Sisera." So here she is. She's an amazing leader. And what's she doing? She's instilling confidence into her troops. Mothers, that's what you do every day. And I remember when the kids were little, you know, something we'd always say is, help me remember, Pastor Scott, remember who you are and act like it. As we shoved them out the door to school, remember who you are and act like it, that you're a child of God, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So here's Deborah. She's saying, come on, you are going to get the victory. You're going to do it, Barak. You're going to succeed. Why? Because I'm here and God's got my back. And He's told us that if we do this, we're going to win. Isn't God marching before you? So Barak charges down the slopes of Mount Tabor, his 10,000 company men following him, and God routed Sisera, all those chariots and all those troops, before Barak. Now, what had happened is, in this particular valley that they're charging into, a few days before, there was a lot of rain. How many of you noticed the rains lately? They've been like some gully washer rains, you know, some lightning, some thunder. So in this valley, there's a ton of rain happening, and the rain has ceased now. But who knows, like down in the valley, it becomes like a mud bog. So God supernaturally routes them into this valley. Deborah tricks them, and their chariots get what? Stuck in the mud. Wow. That's interesting. Stuck in the mud. They're sitting ducks, ready to be picked off. God is so smart, isn't He? So here they are. They're in the valley. Barak is charging down upon them. So here we see God routed all those chariots, all those troops before Barak. Sisera jumps out of his chariot and runs for it. Oh, well, he's a leader, huh? What's about going down with the ship or going staying with your troops? No, he jumps ship and runs. Coward. Barak chased the chariots and troop all the way to Harosheth Hagoyim. Sisera's entire fighting force was killed. Not one man left. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Yeah. Wow, it's so surprising. We killed them all. We're shocked. It's amazing. No, that's what God said, wasn't it? That's what His plan was. But now we have one escapee to deal with, Sisera. So meanwhile, Sisera, running for his life, headed for the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. Jabin, king of Hazor, and Heber, the Kenite, were on good terms. Remember I told you they're buddies with one another. So Jael stepped out to meet Sisera and said, come in here, sir. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. Pastor Scott, can you come up here for a minute? Yeah, I'm going to use the blue mic. I just need to have you to say one line. Caught in a trap.
Yeah, this is a trap.
Yep. Can you sing that line for me?
From Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
I'm caught in a trap I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Thank you, Pastor Scott.
Why can't you?
He's caught in a trap, and he doesn't even realize that he's caught in a trap. Now, let me back it up just a minute. You know, when you come over to the Porter household, usually when you come in the front door, you take off your shoes. And that's because we have this white carpet. I didn't pick it, just came with the house. But you know, white carpet gets dirty at the drop of a hat. So everywhere else you can walk with your shoes on, I don't care, but when you come in the front door, I just ask, it's a custom, just take your shoes off. So if you're coming to my house, like wear socks, clean your feet, do something, you know, before you take off your shoes. But anyway, so a custom in this part of the Middle East was, when a person came into your camp, the women did not ask the guy to come to her tent. Like, hello, not good. What happened was that the guy would say, hey, you can come to my tent. And then they would feed him, take care of him, offer the women to him, all this stuff, yeah, that happened back then. So when Jael stepped out of her tent to say, hey, come on over here, come with me, you know, come in here. The only reason that he ran into her tent, because he was running for his life. Perfect opportunity. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about Jael. She is the tent dweller. She is a hard worker. She's the wife of Heber. She has a loyalty to her family, which is the children of God, Israel. And she has a heart of a lion for them. Let's look at the end of verse 18. So come in here, sir. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. So he went with her into her tent, and she covered him with a blanket. Miss Hospitality. He said to her, please, can I have a little water? I'm thirsty. She just didn't give him water. She opens a bottle of milk, which was very precious. She gives him a drink. She actually puts it in an amazing cup for him. And she covers him up again. And he said, can you stand at the tent flap? If anyone comes by and asks you, is there anyone in there? Tell him, no, not a soul. So he wants her alive for him. Then, while he was fast asleep with exhaustion, Jael, wife of Heber, took a tent peg and a hammer and tiptoed toward him and drove the tent peg through his temple all the way into the ground, and he convulsed and died. Happy Mother's Day. Barak arrives in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to greet him, and she said, come, I'll show you the man you're looking for, Jabin. He went with her, and there he was, stuck to the ground with a tent peg. Sisera stretched out dead with a tent peg through his temple. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. And the people of Israel pressed harder and harder on Jabin, king of Canaan, until there was nothing left of him. Wow, Pastor Terry. That's an interesting Mother's Day story. I think I'll tell it to my kids tonight while I tuck them in bed. Well, a few things. This woman, Jael, was a very audacious woman. And no other man would have dared to enter her tent except in this act of war and a criminal fleeing. So Sisera had found this convenient hiding place, and here he is, he's holed up in a woman's tent hiding. But you know what? Jael had been moved by the plight of the Israelites and the cruel oppression of King Jabin and Sisera. And hers was an act of vengeance she was carrying out to fulfill God's plan. Do you remember what Deborah spoke? She spoke that Sisera would be killed at the hands of a woman. That was the prophecy. Sometimes a girl has to slay a few giants in her life. I am not advocating grabbing tent pegs and hammers and killing people through the temple, all right? Not advocating that at all. But what I'm going to encourage you to take from this story today, women, is a few things about these particular ladies at the place they found themselves. You know, after that act, when the armies were slayed and Sisera was killed and Jabin was left for dead, Israel, the children of God, experienced 40 years of peace. 40 years of peace. They were under oppression for 20. They experienced 40 years of peace because of Jael's lion-hearted act. See, God had a plan and a purpose for her in this particular story. And, you know, we can model ourselves after these two strong women who rose to make decisions and stepped out when God asked them to at his urging. Sometimes when I was reading this story during the week, I said to myself, would I have been that brave? Would I have been that decisive? Would I have been that unwavering or stuck it out, put my neck out there, not to be applauded or appreciated, but just to be obedient to God? I would encourage you today, ladies, that if God's given you a vision, a word, a plan, a purpose, I want you to keep the faith that he's going to be able to be faithful to bring it to completion. And I want you to step out and be obedient and do what he's asked you to do. I want you to recognize that you women are capable of bringing the word of God that's been given to you to pass. In fact, you women can change history. Jael and Deborah changed the history of the Israelites from this point on, and they had 40 years of peace. There's no need to wait for somebody else to fight your battle. Get up off your butt and fight your battle. The Bible says the battle is not yours only, but God is fighting that battle for you. But he needs you to put some action to your faith and do something. So don't wimp around and I'm this and I'm that. Stand up in who you are and make some decisive actions for your life. If you're in debt, make a decision to take a class and get out of debt. Amen. If you're having marriage problems, call somebody and ask for some counseling and get some help. If you're depressed and isolating yourself and sitting at home and have thoughts of suicide running through your head today, ask somebody for some help. Step forward. Make a decisive act. If you're struggling in your relationship with your kids, ask for help. Believe God. Get on your knees and go to the throne room. Obey what he asks you to do. There's no need for you to wait for somebody else to fight your battles. I'm not going to fight your battles for you. You and God can win together. Your imperfections or your disadvantages don't disqualify you from doing something amazing for God. Rather, your imperfections make you the perfect candidate for God to show his glory through you. The fact is, if God can use Jael to free the children of Israel and bring peace to the land, he can use you for whatever he's called you to do. There's no need for you as women to sit back. We are here for such a time as this, and this is a time for us to rise, to give action, to give voice to the plan of God in your life, in your church, outside your church, on a local and global level to fight poverty, disease, hunger, whatever you feel called to do. There's great value in a strong woman, and husbands love a strong woman. Be strong in Jesus. Be an asset to the people around you. Rise and give voice to the good news that Christ is the answer to the lost and the hurting around you. Be dog determined that your children will follow God all the days of their life and don't take no for an answer from the enemy. Draw your line in the sand and stick it out and duke it out with the enemy. unearth your God-given talents and abilities, because the earth is waiting for women to see what could happen when we all get together and mobilize, when God's love captures our hearts and uses us as a company to carry out his vision. That's what Deborah and Jael did. They bound together in this war and carried out God's vision. You are a risk taker. I'm just asking you to be obedient to God and rise to the challenge, because that's who you are. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for using Deborah and Jael to help deliver your people from oppression. Father God, I pray that you would use these women today who sit here against the battle of evil in our world today, coming against our families, our marriages, our homes, our institutions. Father God, we ask today that you would remove any obstacles in our lives that would keep us from absolute obedience to you. Father God, help these women to never put conditions on their obedience to you, but always be ready to immediately respond to the promptings of the Spirit. Father God, help these women to realize that they have godly gifts, talents, and abilities, and that your beauty and your love has captured their heart. They are of great value. They're strong in you, and there is a need for the women of this church to rise and give action and voice to the plans of God. I thank you, Father. We're challenged today by the integrity that we see in Deborah, by her decisiveness, her willingness to lead, Father God, and then Jael's complete obedience, not knowing what the consequences would be, to act to help deliver her people from the oppressor. Father, I give you praise and glory, and I thank you that each one of these women today would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you infinitely, exhaustively, audaciously love them so very much. I thank you that they would come to that realization in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, ladies, I want you to listen to the word.